Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Wednesday, July 22nd. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are studying page 53, the second paragraph, which begins with "When we became alcoholics" and ends with "What was our choice to be?" Today's readers are Susan G. for the 12 Steps, Jamie G. for the 12 Traditions, Michelle A.C. will read and comment on the text for us, Leslie M. will close us out with page 164, and Anne S.C.H. is our backup, so thank you so much. Alex K. will then greet newcomers, and Shelley E. will close end the meeting with some announcements for you. So thank you all very much for your beautiful service. The reference number for yesterday's Tuesday, July 21st, 10 a.m. meeting is 23653. That's 23653. And the reference numbers for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, July 22nd is 26656. That's 26656. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Susan G., Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are: 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give some service and I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. And Janie G., will you please read the 12 traditions of OA for us?
I sure will, Elaine. This is Janie G. from Michigan, currently in Long Point, Ontario. And here are the 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Janie G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 53, the second paragraph, which begins with, "When we became alcoholics," and I will now ask Michelle A.C. to please begin reading for us.
Thanks, Elaine. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? I mean, I'm not even sure that any of us could say anything about this paragraph. It's like, to me, the pillar, like the top point, the pinnacle of the book. But in thinking about it a little bit, I've been trying really hard recently to describe how things feel and what I do rather than to describe what it means, because I've discovered that, like, it's really all we're doing, at least to me, all we're doing for an hour a day, every day, which is so awesome, is trying to describe this idea of faith to each other and, like, give each other enough of a glimpse of God's kingdom or, you know, a life lived by the principles of the program. To have it catch, to have somebody else be able to catch it a little bit. And it's amazing that we can do that an hour a day, every day, since, you know, it's been since 2012, right? And here we are still doing it, not to mention since 1937, right? So I read this and I was like, well, okay, so did I come here with a self-imposed crisis? Yes. Am I a postponer and an evader? Yes. So I need to make a choice. So choice comes up three times in the first 164 pages of the book, and all of them have to do with faith. The first one is we lost the power over our choice, of power of choice over drink, or in our case, food. Right, and the second one is about choosing to participate in some sort of religious body, and then this is the other one. So what does it feel like? Once I started to think about, like, what does faith, what does surrender, what does letting go feel like, I started to realize that we're all talking about it a lot. I hear it from fellows all the time. I have a fellow who's talking right now about finding a bigger God. I have a fellow who's talking about living by my values or living by my higher self. I've been thinking a lot about complete surrender. I heard somebody say recently, I need there to be less me and more God. And my sponsor's been saying to me a lot recently, let go and then let go some more. And I heard a fellow say last week, I need to unclench my fist, my jaw, and my heart. And to me, those are all making God everything, right? And later on, and we're going to hear in step 10 that doing this is the right use of will. Making this choice daily and then taking the actions that are behind it is the right use of will. getting my crisis-filled, squirrely brain filled with, like, you know, all of these resentments and fears and anger, trying to get that out of the way so that I can reach through the gap to love, protection, care, a higher power, a sense of purpose, being of service to my fellows, you know, and that's really what it looks like in my life when God is everything. You know, and so to me, then in the next paragraph, he's going to come right out and say that this choice is about faith. And to me, the idea that faith is a choice I make every day makes it feel a little less scary and a little less like everyone else has it and I don't, because I get up in the morning and I choose to do all of these things, including be on this meeting every day. And with the faith and the belief that when I stop evading and I stop postponing and I start actually doing and living the program, that spiritual awakening is there at the end. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, I mean, that's what I see on the other side of this choice. And I'm really grateful I'm just grateful to everyone for all of your times when you've told me what that looks like for you. So that's all. Thank you.
And thank you for telling us what that looks like for you. Thank you very much, Michelle A.C. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 53, the second paragraph, we'd love to take a lineup. Please press star 1 to unmute and give us your name, where you're calling from.
I'm Barbara W.
Wendy M.
And Barbara W.
Barbara W. And Wendy,
Wendy M.
Ronnie B.
I'll wait. Go ahead, Wendy.
Okay. Actually, no, Barbara, I got you first, and then Wendy and Ronnie. And
okay.
Did anybody
no
else
problem.
Want to get in this lineup?
Okay, no problem. Yeah.
Anne SCH.
Anne SCH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's a great start for us. So, Barbara, please share with us, and you'll be followed by...
Yeah.
Wendy M, Ronnie B, and Anna.
And I'm a recovery, a food addict and an alcoholic, both. I haven't been around for, I think it's a month or two, because I've been working at the music park, if any of you know, down in Make-Believe, and I've been working for 3 days this year. But, you know, I've been making food for me to eat according to I'm on gray sheet, according to the plan, like grains and salads and stuff like that. But when I come home from work at night, I go to bed. I eat an orange and go right to bed because it's 7 o'clock at night and I'm so tired. But everything has changed for me this week. It's going to be even better for me because I can use the crock pot and I can use other things with my food. A reason why I'm saying this right quick because food is important, because I find that even all the illness that I've been having for the last 2 years was because of my food. And when my food got better, I seemed like I feel better. I don't have the inflammation that I had in my body. And I've been feeling better. I've been going to the chiro and just taking care of myself. And I just wanted to share about, you said about the story on 53, God. God is, everybody has their own religion. But for me, faith is the substance of things that we hope for. And it's the evidence that we don't see it. I don't see it when I come in this program, but by faith and the people in the rooms and the sharing, I can get a hold to it, and I can learn and practice the ability to learn to eat a new, healthy way. And this is what I have picked up for myself from learning. And I know we all got it, but we may have it different ways, but it's okay. But I just wanted to share that about the God. Giving about having God and giving all. God is the one that's helping this program. He's the head of everything. He's the creation. Even though we know what's going on in our world, but we are here. We are here to serve one another, and we are here to love one another and have patience and endure one another. And that's what I try to do with people each day, with the food, with finance. This program is just has given me some alcohol, it's anonymous, everything that I can do. So thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Wendy M. is up next. And if you're not Wendy M., I would ask you to be sure that your phone is muted.
Wendy, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Ronnie B.
Great. And, yeah, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful to be – oh, I think someone else is unmuted. Let me know. Yeah. Let me know when you want me to share.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay, great. So here's the good news. I'm crushed by a self-imposed crisis. Why is that good? Well, if you're the problem, I'm screwed. But if I'm the problem, if it's self-imposed, I have a million solutions because this book shows me how to get out of self, right? And how to get out of self, how to have a complete and utter transformation of self. How do I do that? I do God's will. Wait, but can't I do my will sometimes? I mean, just a few times. Like, can't I maybe not pray and meditate? Maybe not make those three phone calls? Maybe. No, we actually, it's one or the other, you know? And here's the deal. Why wouldn't I want God? Every time I choose God's way, and by the way, if this isn't rocket science, I know exactly when I'm in self. I know when I'm exactly in self-imposed crisis, right? And I know when I'm in God. It's two very radically different states. I often say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. When I told my sister the truth that I didn't want to hang out with her, with my boyfriend, because she's gorgeous and I felt I was the ugly duckling, God entered my heart instantly. When somebody calls me and says, you know, can you be my best friend? And I know God's saying, no, baby, that's not going to be working for you. When I say no instead of yes, when I don't people please, when I do exactly what it is, and it's not hard. How do I hear God's will? Well, it feels good. Wendy's will feels like crapola, and there really are two choices here. What is my choice to be? When I'm in self, when I'm in what can I get, when I'm in what about me, when I'm in fear, I don't want to make those phone calls. I'm afraid to call people. No, you're not afraid to call people. You're afraid of what's going to happen to you if you make that phone call, right? I don't want to weigh and measure. Oh, you mean you want loopholes? You want vagueness? I talk to so many people who want, I want vagueness. I want to be able to change my food during the day, et cetera. Why do they call me? Because it feels like crap to be doing that. We all know it. That's why we call each other. Because it feels like crap to be in self. And you know what? God loves me enough to show me when I'm in self. And God says, you're going to feel like crapola when you're in self. Your fists are tight, you're in fear, and you're in what can I get? And what is it going to bring to me? And then there's the opposite world. There's God. And every time I go to God, God instantly runs to me. God needs us to seek him. He's an inch away. But I have to say, God, this one's yours. When I say I'm not getting my way, God laughs. God's like, honey, there's only one way, and that's God. It's a simple, simple, simple program, but not easy. A destruction of self-centeredness, which means I have to, if I'm going to recover, I have to be uncomfortable, right? When I'm in self, it feels fabulous for 8 seconds, like binging, and then it feels crappy. When I'm with God, it's hard at first, and then it feels phenomenal. So why wouldn't we still, why wouldn't we want God? Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy M. Ronnie B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Ann SCH. Please share with us, Ronnie.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Ronnie, compulsive overeater in recovery. So the question that went through my mind is on the end of the 10-step sheet that I use. Whenever I have my defects gone wild, is where is my trust and reliance? Is it on my finite self or God, infinity, right? And never when I'm doing that 10-step worksheet and I'm going through that, has my reliance been on God? Because when it is, it's completely different outcome. So that's really critical to know that God is first and foremost in my life. Now, is it 100%? No, because I'm not in the graduating class of OA. You know, I will have times when that doesn't happen. So for example, and telling on myself is always really a good way to grow. So my daughter and I went to St. Lucia for a vacation. Beautiful. Did some great, fun, beautiful things. The fifth day of that vacation, I had a freak accident. I was at the top of a flight of wooden steps, and through circumstances, I backed up and went over, like feet overhead. hindsight's funny, but it wasn't then, and it was truthfully crack, crack, and then hitting two walls. And I only tell you that, probably I'd like some pity, but but truthfully, I tell you that because I was relying on myself and I didn't know what had happened, and my daughter was with me, and she came running down the stairs, and I freaked out. Of course I am. I have no idea that I fell. I didn't get it. And so I can tell you this. After freaking out, which is completely okay, right, my daughter said something to me that some people might not understand, right? I didn't understand it. At first I thought she had no empathy, but I was losing it quickly, crying, afraid, terrified, think I was going to die. It was all over the place. And then she looked at me and she said, you have to stop. You have to stop. And at first I was hurt. I'm like, emotionally, I was hurt emotionally. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's right. I mean, I didn't know if I would walk again. I'm built like a bag of bones. You know, I'm 72. I don't know what's broken, what's cracked. Am I going to be able to get out of St. Lucia and get back to Missouri? You know, but I heard her. And I didn't take it personally after the first few seconds. And then all of a sudden it happened. My trust and reliance was on God. And I mean, I prayed. That must have scared the daylights out of her. And it was earnest.
Reminder.
It was earnest prayer. And through the grace of God, I'm back home. No broken bones. A lot of severe issues. But I'm going to be okay. So trust and reliance on my higher power first. That's all I have. Thank you.
So glad you're going to be okay. That is, wow. Okay, thank you very much. Anne SCH, you're up next. Please share with us, Anne.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Anne SCH. I'm a compulsive overeater from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today's paragraph, I just thank you, God, for showing me in the big book this morning what I've been struggling with. And that self-imposed crisis. For me, it's like one part of selfishness that came out for me this morning in my 11-step work this morning was that I've been, because of a family member who's in stage 4 cancer, I've been going into myself, like feeling sorry for myself. And which is, I like to think that that's not me. So I'm discovering things about myself that aren't very attractive, and that is one of them where I have been, I mean, I have my own health issues as well because of my stage of life, but the self-imposed crisis for me has been almost like a turning in on myself and, oh, you could have done that better, you could have said that better. So it's almost like a self-criticism that I thought was, that I had controlled, that what a laugh that is. It's not me, it's all about God and surrendering to Him. So for me, God showed me that this morning in my prayer time, that I'm creating my own, that voice inside me is not His voice that's criticizing me. That's Anne criticizing Anne, and to have a feeling, to get an effect, because I can't go into the food. So I'm focusing, instead of focusing outward and doing service and talking to fellows, I've reverted back into self-indulgence of myself, my emotional self. So I just thank you, God, for the paragraph that you've given us today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Anne SCH.
Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 50 through the second paragraph, which begins with when we became alcoholics and ends with what was our choice to be, and you'd like to comment, please give me your name. Star 1 to unmute.
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy LJ.
Dorita
P. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Bob B in Georgia.
Bob B?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, we've got Nancy LJ, Dorita P, and Bob B. If I did anything wrong with your name, please forgive me and correct me. Nancy LJ, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Nancy LJ, California, grateful to be recovered today. Sitting out on my patio in the beautiful nature here, I'm just grateful. I love these chapter. And yeah, God either is or he isn't. I have to share the page before on 52 is where I started 4 years ago in Vision. I'd been in program a long while, but this latest abstinence has been since I started in Vision and found a new sponsor and worked the steps and found entire abstinence. But the third paragraph on page 52, when we saw others solve their problems by simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. So the day before we studied that chapter, I had announced myself and I got a ton of phone calls that I met some great people and amazing people. And I really just, you know, the scales came down off my eyes that day. You know, and I realized that these people had a reliance upon the spirit of the universe. And it was simple. They were reaching out. They were connecting with me. And that was a tool they were using. And that is something I had, you know, been so reluctant to use for years. And, you know, I was always, quote, oh, I don't like to make phone calls. You know, the 100-pound phone, whatever, all those things. But these people were doing it. And they were connecting with me. And I saw it that day. And that's huge for me. And I just reminiscing about that 4 years ago. I've got it all marked up in my big book here, Miracle Happened, all that on that particular paragraph. But I just, if you're new or if you're, you know, just keep coming back. Keep coming to these rooms, phone calls, meetings. And for me, there's just nowhere else to go. I've tried everything else and landed with you all and with God. And I have a life. And I'm just so grateful. So that I'll pass. Nancy LJ in California.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Appreciate your share. Dorita P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by 5B.
Hi, thank you. You did call me, right?
Dorita P.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I was unmuting, yeah. I guess, when you were calling me. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. My name is Dorita Pippin. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. It says, yes, when we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? I came to Overeaters Anonymous by way of Emotions Anonymous. And when I went to Emotions Anonymous, I was angry with God because maybe about 5 or 6 people died in just the span of like 2 years. And I was angry at God, you know, and I'm like, even though I had grew up with a belief, I said, well, if there is a God, he sure hasn't done anything for me. And so I'm going to, like, act as if there is no God. And for me, acting as if there is no God just means that I'm going to treat people any kind of way. Because there's no God, there's no consequences. That's the only difference. But if there is a God, and I wasn't sure, but an old-timer told me that it's better to believe now that there is a God and then find out that there's not a God than the other way around. Live as if there's no God. And then, because I believe that I find out about God when I die. So even though I started the program angry, you know, I had to believe in people to help me, and I believe those people, I believe that God worked through those people and is working through people today still. And I know that that's my only hope. That's my only hope for recovery, for happiness, for peace, is faith. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tarita P. Bob B., you're up next.
Hi, this is Bob D. in Georgia. And
Bob D., I'm so sorry I got your initial wrong. Please share that. Thank you.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you. I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Georgia. I'm very grateful today. And I'd say when I read this paragraph, the question that I hear was the one that finally confronted, that I finally had to confront when my eating brought me to a place of desperation. And that was the question of, I believe that God exists, but my issue was that I didn't trust him to run my life. For years, I lived in insanity of waking up and saying, today is the day I'm going to lick this thing. Today is the day I'm going to stick to this plan. I had an amazing plan. It's going to work. There's no reason why it shouldn't. I just need to stick with it. Today, I finally overcame this thing through my thinking that I would overcome it through my own determination, which, looking back now, what a fallacy. So I now know that it wasn't a commitment that I was lacking. It was power. And so it wasn't until my health became a serious issue. That's when I truly realized what it means to become powerless, because I could not fix it even at that time. And that's when I surrendered. And that's when I realized through this program what it means to rely on God and how much I had been relying on self. So again, my struggle wasn't believing that he existed. My struggle was trusting him. And even have a real understanding of what it meant to rely on him instead of relying on myself. So today, you know, it's still a daily practice. I'm still, excuse me, learning. I'm still having to remind myself to trust him when things come up. And what a great sense of peace when I recall and remember, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to tackle with this. I don't have to try to fix this. I have a higher power who can take care of anything. And I experience such peace when I remind myself of that. And I'm very grateful for it. And that's what I wanted to share today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, 5D. Okay. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 53, the second paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Denise H., Kansas. I'd like to share. I'm a food addict.
Okay. Okay, Denise. Okay. We're going to take a lineup, yeah, and you'll be the first one to share. So who else
Thank
would
you.
Like to share after Denise?
Mary Lee, Boise, in Oregon.
Jody E.
Okay. Mary Lee and Jody E. Anybody else?
Luann C., Boise.
Luann
C., as in Boise.
Okay.
Feeling out.
Yeah. I'll take that last name if you can repeat it, but I hope we have time for everybody. Who was that again? The last one?
Okay. Paley O in California.
Okay, great. Okay. This is what I've got. Denise H, and I try to write these down really quickly, and I think sometimes I don't always get it right. Mary Lee, I believe, Jody E, Leona C, and P. Ling O. please correct me if I got it wrong. Denise H., you're up first, and then Mary will follow you. Mary Lee.
Thank you. And I'm sorry. Was it my time? I apologize if I spoke before.
It is your time. It is your time.
Okay.
Be here with us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Denise Vedic. I never was agnostic. I was brought up in a faith and a kind God, and I believed what I was taught. But the difference was when I got in 12-step program, I have faith that works. I believed it as far as I'd been taught. I had no problem with it, but nothing happened. I'd pray to lose weight and nothing would happen. You know, help me, nothing would happen. But with the 12-step program, I learned a different relationship with my higher power, and my understanding of my higher power grew and grew and grew. There was a time when I said, "Who are you?" You know, but. The difference is, when I have to teach on the second step, I always give this story. This is the difference. Like, there was this village, and they were dying of drought because they hadn't had rain. And so the shaman of the village was going to go up on a hill and pray for rain. And so all the villagers were following him up the hill. But there was one little boy carrying an umbrella. That's the difference. I pray now with trust. I'm the little boy carrying the umbrella now. That's the difference in my faith. I have faith that works because of the 12-step program, and I'm so, so grateful for this 12-step way of life. Thank you for allowing me to share. I'll pass and I'll mute. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Lee. That was great. Okay. That was Mary Lee. Okay, Jody E, you're up next.
Thank you, Elaine. And Elaine, what paragraph is it?
This is page 53, the second paragraph, which begins with when we became alcoholics and end was what was our choice to be.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Yeah, what is my choice to be? God is everything, or else God is nothing. It is amazing to me that I, too, had faith in a higher power, in God, my whole life, but it was of no use to me until I found a group of people who admitted to the same problem. We all admit that we are powerless over food. And once I admit that and put the food down, the alcoholic foods down, the alcoholic behaviors down, and I'm doing that in a fellowship of people who are doing the same thing, there is power in that that I never had before. I too would pray, I would journal, I would determine that I wasn't going to eat this or that. But it was all to no avail until I found this 12-step fellowship and way of life. It's kind of confusing to me in a way that my faith didn't work until I found you all. But that is the case for me as well, and the case for many of us. So God is everything, but I need the fellowship too. And I wonder, what did people do before they had these 12-step programs? I don't know. I certainly was crushed by a self-imposed crisis. I did accept a higher power, but I also accepted abstinence, entire abstinence, because without that, I'm blocked from my higher power, I believe, I feel. And I accepted this way of life, of service and self-sacrifice for others, because faith without works is dead. And when I met you all, I suddenly had a way to be of service, to carry the message, and that has made all the difference. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Mary Lee, I missed you. So would you please share next?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C. I am...
I'm sorry, Luann. I had missed somebody before, so I'm going to ask Mary Lee to speak before you do. Is that all right?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mary Lee, star one to unmute. If you'd still like to share.
Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. And I had to laugh when you said that I had already shared, and I thought that was a really good share. That would work. And I didn't really want to share what came to me to share. So anyway, I did a meditation little prompt this morning, and it said to chant your favorite saying, and my favorite saying is thank you God, thank you God, thank you God. And my impression of God when I was growing up was I had a sister 3 years older than me, and my mom was pulling a horse trailer with two horses, and we were on our way to the fair, and my sister jumped out, and the horse trailer ran over her, and people told me, well, God wanted Peggy, and so I didn't want anything to do with God for a long, long time. But I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful. I did my batch cooking this morning, listening to the earlier meeting, and then I got to hear this meeting, and it's a we program, and that's the whole difference for me. It's no longer me, it's we. And I have a loving higher power, my divine director, my Didi, and I use the word God now with reverence, and God either is or isn't, and I don't choose to have the latter. And thank you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for catching that. Anyway, it's blessings and peace. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Mary Lee. Thanks for your grace. Appreciate it. And my handwriting, I'm not always easy to follow. Was there a Lount L or a Lount I? Okay, I guess not. I have Luann C.
Yeah, that's Luann C. Yep. Thanks, Elaine.
Okay,
thanks for your service.
Thank you.
I'm Luann C. Today I'm on my feet and recovered in Boise, Idaho. I'm really grateful. I just wanted to quickly share that, every day what my main goal is to follow the prompts that are coming from my higher power. And I can hear those because I did the work. My pipeline was cleared out so that I could hear. And, I don't take my will back so much as I fall back into it, because the ruts of decades of compulsive overeating are just so deep. But, now because of the program, I don't wallow in guilt or shame about, I just go, what is the next thing? I just keep going back to God and just what do you want me to do? And every time I follow God, every time I'm following one of these prompts, I'm, there's no collateral damage. I don't have to be afraid, because I know that I'm giving my will in the right way, as the lead said. And, my life is so much less fear. And the people around me are really being blessed because I'm here, instead of being another problem in their life. So I'm just really grateful. And anyway, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. Paling O, you're up next.
Hi, this is Paling L. Can you?
Oh, L. Sorry about that, Paling.
That's okay. Hi, Lynn. Greatly recovered. Gratefully recovered in California. Thank you for all the service and shares this morning. It's just always such a blessing to get to start my day with vision. And I love this paragraph. That self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade. When I read could not postpone, it just reminds me of when the first time I went through steps 4 and 5 and just really got to see one of my character defects across basically all over my inventories of how in my disease, how I just had a knack for creating a threat out of everything. Anything and everything could be a threat. And everything was urgent. And that urgency really was, yes, it was in my mind, and it was also in my body. Like the way that my body experienced life and the way that my mind experienced my body, it was just, I just had a fundamental discomfort with existing in a human body. And any little thing that my body was experiencing or any disturbance that I felt in the world just felt very loud. It felt very loud, very pressing, very urgent, and like something needed to change right now. So I just had a great deal of intolerance for my human experience. And just in recovery, it's miracle upon miracle, the fact that it's just what a relief that in God's world, urgency, there's not really urgency in God's world. As soon as I get into a state of urgency, even, for example, yesterday, driving somewhere and there's extra traffic and I'm feeling the urgency build up, whose timing am I living on? In that moment, I'm like, okay, well, if I think I'm late, that's according to whose clock? God is everything. On God's time, I'm right on time always. And yes, that doesn't mean I can also consider others and things like that, but it's a mentally, emotionally, physically exhausting state to be living in constant fight or flight, in that constant state of hypervigilance. And it's just, I did not know it was possible to live in such a relaxed, relieved, and unshakably peaceful way. So thank you all for being part of that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate everybody's share. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.